You might be after a set of shiny new wheels this September, but did you know you could get one that's almost new with only a few thousand miles on the clock and save thousands of pounds? Well, Motorpoint have got you covered. They've got thousands of cars, all nearly new with low mileage, at unbeatable prices. Plus, almost all their cars are still under manufacturer's warranty. And those that don't come with Motorpoint warranty. So peace of mind comes as standard with Motorpoint. And if all that wasn't enough, Motorpoint offer a 14-day money-back guarantee to make sure you've picked the right car for you. 14 days to make sure you love it or your money back. So why buy new this September when you can buy nearly new with Motorpoint and save thousands? Get straight to unbeatable prices. Get straight to motorpoint.co.uk.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
Don't go! No! No, we've got to do the podcast! Guys? Oh, God. I'll do it! Ha-ha!
Right, hello. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 Thing podcast. It's little Si here. The guys have just left down to the pub and left me to do the intro. So, here we go. Coming up, a French chef gives their solution to stop British children snacking between meals. Johnny's got the all the latest alligator shark chicken news. And there's a crazy Victorian military inventor irrigating his helmet in the depths of the woodman's heroic little slot. So, enjoy.
Radio X.
Guys, as you know, one of the things I'm most bitter about from the past is that I was kicked out of the Scouts.
Right. In disgrace? Was it a dishonourable discharge?
But it was politics. It was politics. Okay. Yeah. I was 9 years old. I was pure politics. It's classic politics, isn't it?
They weren't ready for you.
They knew I was trying to take it. It's politics. In the end, all they said in the letter to my parents is his methods are unsound. That was it.
Even as a child, you were very strong.
Well, no,
you?
I was like, just I quickly became like a sort of Colonel Kurtz figure.
Right, right.
You know, I was
heart
sort of
darkness.
You know,
yeah,
it was a heart of Patotridge. I'd just gone too far up the.
Your methods were unsound.
My methods, no, they just saw already. I was starting to get kids loyal to me.
Right,
and
right. That was a threat. That was seen as a threat.
Yeah, yeah, I had a sort of Dennis Hopper figure kid around me.
Right,
and they sent someone from the scouting organisation, South Cairn, the Baden-Powell Institute, to terminate with extreme prejudice my command.
They used helicopters as well, didn't they?
Didn't. Well, you're exaggerating a little bit. There was a Swiss Army knife involved. But so I'm always quite bitter about that. I felt I could have really changed the face of modern scouting.
Sure.
For a start, I wanted us all armed.
Yeah, yeah. Progressive ideas.
And some of my ideas for badges didn't go down at all well.
Right, right, right.
they didn't want things like a pastor badge,
no
stuff like that,
right?
Other stuff, Gav.
No, they weren't into punk music.
No, they weren't either. They didn't like that badge either. Just a badge with 1% on it,
right? Yeah.
The 1% who don't fit in.
Yeah,
they didn't like that.
No,
they didn't like the badge I had with a skull on it,
right?
Which I tried to institute.
Yeah, well,
what I wanted to do was try and create an elite unit.
Right.
An elite corps.
Within the Scouts.
Within the Scouts, yeah. And you go down on the list, you look like a normal Scout.
You don't know any different.
Yes. But instead of Hereford, it was Hartford.
Right.
And that's what I was going to base it. So you've been to Hartford. And it was a special, it was like anti-terror group within the Scouts.
Right, counterintelligence.
Counterintelligence.
Special ops. Yeah.
Humans.
Yeah. Rumint.
Yeah, they just didn't have at the time. They didn't like it. I wanted us all to have walkie-talkies, cookery knives.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Gav, get this. The Scout Association has launched its first new group since Beaver Scouts in 1986.
Right, that was the last one, was it?
Yes.
Go on.
They've now launched, and this is it's too young for scouting.
Okay.
They've launched a sinister squirrels program.
What is that?
Yes, for kids aged 4 or 5.
It sounds very dark.
Yes.
Squirrels.
Squittles. The Squittles. The so-called Squittles unit. The Squittles
Are they red or grey squirrels, or does it not matter?
They are wearing red,
right,
the new squirrels unit.
Right, wow.
I mean, I'd like it if they were elite 4 or 5 year olds, train killers.
Definitely.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, can really scurry up a tree really fast.
Really fast, with balaclavas on, ninja masks.
Along the top of a fence.
Yeah, yeah.
At light speed.
Yeah, I wanted like ninja scouts.
Yeah, right, right.
But it seems to me, you know, it's too little, for me, too little, too late.
Yeah.
I wanted 9 year olds trained karate.
Right.
You know,
right. But these are half measures, aren't they? Yeah.
They're rewarded with badges for developing outdoor skills, pitching a tent.
Mm-hmm.
Planting seeds. Now, what 4 year old can pitch a tent? Well, I'll tell you, any. You just open it and it goes, foop.
And it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
Foop. Foom. Yeah. Thunk. Pitched. Life skills like how to spend 50p in a shop. What? That's a skill.
That is a skill. Budgeting.
You try that in Leicester Square. I don't know what you're going to walk away with. Maybe a treat, a refresher.
Half an item.
A refresher.
Yeah, yeah.
It will be the youngest age group after beavers. The beavers recruit children aged 6 to 8. I'd like to have quite hard recruitment as well. Like bands, you know, kids, like for First World War. What did you do? What did you do on bank holiday, Daddy?
Yeah, right.
You know, I start
really
using
questioning
that. Yeah, the scouts need you. A finger of Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
Points.
Menacingly.
Menacing.
Definitely.
Yeah, defo. The Scout Association, which recorded its largest decline in membership since the Second World War during the pandemic, is calling for adult volunteers to sign up to lead sessions. They're looking to get about 100,000 kids involved.
Right. Okay.
Christ alive, they're raising up an army.
They really are. A standing army.
I'm trying to think if I'm going to get little Milton involved in that. I might do, actually.
Do they do artillery in the Scouts?
Might send him in as like a fifth columnist.
Radio X.
You all right, Gov?
Yeah, not bad.
I tell you what, Gov, I just read about the Archbishop of Canterbury's. He's cut down on his meat.
He's joking.
He's not going to have so much meat. There's a bit in the papers about it. He says
more veg.
Well, no, the Archbishop of Canterbury has been trying to defend his green credentials.
Okay, right.
Another old Etonian, actually. Another person.
Oh, is he?
Well, yeah. I mean, if we didn't have Prince Charles or the Queen now, we'd have William, Boris and the Archbishop. That's all three went to Eton.
Wow.
I'm not saying...
Who'd have thought?
I'm not saying that one school seems to have got dibs on Britain, ruling Britain, but one school seems to have got dibs on ruling Britain. I'm not saying some vicious old boy network. I'm sure, genuinely, these very wealthy people who send their kids there do have very talented kids.
Absolutely right. Every time. It just happens to be the right
people. It just happens to be one school where, you know... Just by paying it and getting through a very modest entrance exam, you seem to be able to disproportionately rule the country. Anyway, Gav.
Right, yeah, go on.
I'm going to get off that. What am I talking about? Sounding really bitter there.
Yeah, go on.
The Archbishop of Canterbury defended his green credentials. He reckons he's ditched his official car now.
Right.
Yeah, he stopped. He doesn't have an official car.
Okay. Does he have an unofficial
car? I always think that's one thing that Jesus, you never read about in the Bible, do you?
Don't, no.
Jesus' official driver.
He wasn't big into...
And the Lord said to his official driver, yea, drive thou meeth
to Canaan.
To Galilee. Yeah. I've got an appointment with some fishermen. Put your foot down. And put your foot down, Judas. Maybe that was his driver.
They tend
to turn bitter.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he's ditched his official car. He said he was a keen recycler. Yeah, I bet he takes out a lot of the stuff there from Lambeth Palace.
Yeah, the plastics and the tins.
I bet of a night you can always see him going down there.
Clunking away,
of 80,000 communion bottles.
That's
from
right.
Up and down Britain. Yeah. The most reverent. I bet he washes those communion bottles out himself.
Oh, he rinses them out.
After a
no
big
question.
Gig at St. Paul's. Anyway, the most reverent Justin Welby, who got his he got rid of his diesel powered Seat Alhambra.
Right.
Is that what he has?
I thought he had a Lambo.
He's got a Seat Alhambra. What's the point? I like it when they're all bejeweled and wealthy and feeling like God, you know, by divine right.
Yes.
Also justified Church of England investments in oil.
What?
Yeah, the Church of England's got a lot of Wonga invested in oil.
You're kidding?
No, they invested a lot of oil. I mean, what he says is, he's got rid of his Seat and he's cut down on meat. That's not green for me. And
he's on a diet.
No, and
he's on a diet.
He's exaggerated about his recycling. Come on, that's not very Christmassy.
Could you be a criminal? Is it in your genes? In our true crime podcast, If It Bleeds, It Leads, join me, Professor David Wilson, and silent witness star Amelia Fox, as we find out what's behind some of our most notorious crimes.
We look at fraud to serial murder and everything in between and separate fact from fantasy.
Subscribe and listen now to
If It Bleeds, It Leads on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
We got an alligator. We got some shark. Ooh, is that a chicken in the place? Alligators, sharks and chickens. Munching grandma's face. What?
What?
It's one of the stories.
Oh. What?
Granny, what are you eating by a chicken? I'm lying slightly. Today, alligators, sharks and chickens, they don't lie. They can lie. So, what do you want, alligator, shark or chicken? Come on.
Chicken. Lay that chicken on me, John. Lay that chicken on me.
And what do you want?
Oh, let's kick off with the chicken, go on.
Alligator, shark or chicken?
Alligator. Alligator, come on.
Come on. Wait a second. What, who's? Why is it? We said we weren't going to have the Scottish person.
Come on, John.
Shut up.
Alligator.
Chicken.
It's his teeth. It's all about the teeth.
What about those other voices?
What about chicken?
Let the rest of the audience in, Simon.
None of this alligator rubbish. Do the chicken.
Do you want the chicken?
Do the chicken.
Okay, okay. We're going to have the chicken.
Let's have the chicken.
Okay, we'll have the chicken. You want the chicken first?
Have the chicken.
Well, it's unorthodox, but okay. But I don't want you now arguing about who I favour. You can now hear a chorus of chickens play the Jurassic Park theme. Okay, it's a bunch of rubber chickens, but they're still impressive. The cover was posted by the Critters on TikTok. Features a blue bowling ball rolling over a series of rubber chickens.
Awesome.
Get ready, close your eyes, and imagine spotting your first Brontosaurus a la Laura Dern and Sam Neill. Here we go.
I'm choking up here, John.
I sound so pained.
I think it sounds fantastic, but now you can realise why I didn't want to go with chicken necessarily first, but that's what you want to do. I want
to finish that.
There you go, there we go. Okay, here we go. And
alligator.
We've had a chicken, there's an alligator, and a shark still to go. Alligators, sharks, and chickens getting the coverage they deserve. So
come on, mate, shark. Come on, it's got to be shark, mate, surely.
You love the Australian team.
It's got to be shark. Alligator, come on.
Shark.
Chicken.
We've had the chicken, for Christ's sake. Kick him out. Get him out. Get him out.
Cockneys. Hey.
Shark.
Cockneys.
Chicken this, chicken that.
Shark.
Alligator or shark? What do you want?
Alligator, come on.
Shark.
No, Sunter's going with shark.
Mate.
I'm going,
come on,
yes,
shark.
I'm going to go with the shark.
Please, John. I'll have a
back
shark.
Back off, Daryl. Right, shark. George Lucas once got his head stuck in the mechanical shark from Jaws. In 1974, Lucas visited the set of Jaws during pre-production. He was curious about the function of the film's gigantic great white. Poked his head into the animatronic beast's mouth. Meanwhile, nearby, Spielberg and writer John Milius saw an opportunity to play a prank. They activated the shark, causing his jaws to close around the head of Lucas.
Oh, is there photographic evidence? You'd have to take a photo.
No, he died for 30 seconds. He was clinically dead.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, I'm just making it because nothing. The story doesn't go further.
Now, that is a shark story.
The shark malfunctioned with his head inside. Lucas was eventually able to free himself. Oh. I've met George Lucas. He was in my shed once. I interviewed him.
Yeah.
And nothing prepares you how small his feet are.
Really? Very small.
You're wearing little cowboy boots.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Hanging from a rearview mirror and they'd look perfect. Like, you know, you get those little boxing gloves.
Wow.
You dangle next to that like a
boxing
cowboy.
You could put them on a Woody puppet. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, unbelievable. Like Woodies.
Yeah.
Didn't know, but Gav, amazing. You just, once you look at them.
How does he balance?
I couldn't even, and he really became conscious. So he was sitting on a sort of box in the shed I used to have. And he started trying to hide his feet because he knew I was slightly transfixed.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. We got an alligator, we got a shark, we've had a chicken in the place. Alligators, sharks, and chicken messing up this crazy old race. Oh yeah.
Alligator!
It's got to be alligator.
It's the song
come
yet,
on.
Shut up.
Alligator!
Sorry.
Alligator.
Alligator, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, alligator. Do you want the alligator?
Yes.
A paddleboarder in the US had to fend off an alligator.
Yeah.
It tried to bite her board.
Wow.
Vicky Remy Baker was paddling in Silver Spring State in Florida when she was approached by the huge reptile. In video shared on Facebook, Vicky could be seen gently pushing the gator away from her with her paddle, prompting it to hiss. A voice over a loudspeaker then says, "My mate's just backing up after you just made him pretty mad." Vicky then speculated that someone had been feeding the animal. She wrote, "Gator tried to eat my board. Someone's been biting him, my bird lines. He's big boy."
Wow.
Sorry?
There you go, that's it.
Wow.
That's the quote.
What, did you say the alligator hissed?
Yeah, he's big boy.
Yeah.
He's big boy hissed.
Big
someone's
gator.
Been feeding him, made him bird lines. I'll tell you now. I'll tell you. Hit. Ladies and gentlemen. Come on, put your hands together.
Come on.
We've had an alligator.
Woo!
We've had a shark.
Woo!
We've had a chicken in the place. Alligators, sharks, and chickens brightening up the human race.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yeah.
First up, something I didn't know about Dartmoor.
Okay, go on.
It's the only national park, that allows wild camping.
What's wild? What's wild?
It means you do what you like.
Oh, really?
And you go wild.
Can you have rituals?
You can do rituals.
Dancing?
Rituals.
With
you
fire?
You can go mad. It just says wild camping.
Oh, my God.
Now, simply misunderstanding that, I think, gives you license to do what you like.
I agree.
The idea of going, but officer, it said wild.
You did, yeah.
Not,
I didn't think a ram's head
would be
a problem.
You can camp where you like. There's no campsite stuff there, Gav. There's
right.
No restrictions. You can go on there and do what the heck you like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Just you can go, you boggles.
Can, yeah, but you can go there, you can drop with a camper, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
So, England's only national park to allow wild camping. I'm afraid they could restrict it to limited areas because there's been concerns about antisocial behaviour. Or wild behaviour,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
Accept it, deal with it, move on. There's no neighbours there. Have you ever been to Dartmoor?
I've driven past it.
Well, no, you've never been to Dartmoor then.
No, I haven't, no.
It's just,
I haven't gone on to the moor, no.
It's so bleak.
No, I know all the trees are at, you know, 10-degree leaning angles,
yeah, no,
although
no,
we're really
awful.
Weather-beaten.
It's always really awful. Overnight stays in caravans and group barbecues are among other activities to be reviewed in potential overhaul of the bylaws in Devon. The rangers say the fabric of the moor has been damaged. Big surge in visitors this year. Again, it's COVID fallout, Gav.
Okay,
it's
right,
going to be
right.
Your COVID.
Looking for the space.
Presumably, it's not going to be as bad in the winter.
No, I'd hope
on
not.
On one night, 70 tents and 50 fire pits were spotted on a riverbank. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, sorry.
What's wrong with that? It'll heal.
Yeah.
Let's stop being so uptight. No, this idea that it's always got to be good to look at. By a pensioner in a car.
Well, or someone who's not looking at it.
I love the look at it. I just like the view. No, it's ridiculous. It's like I love it when you get a valley and you see those huge power pylons.
Yeah.
And it just goes through it.
Giant men.
You see it from giant, for miles.
Yeah.
And I just marvel at man's ability to generate electricity. I just stand there and marvel.
A beautiful trellis of metal holding up the wire.
Ah, yeah. The trellis work.
Bestriding
like,
the
each
earth.
One to me like a a wonderful example of a sort of Faradayan Eiffel Tower.
Oh, well, if you're talking about the electrical vernacular, yeah. That's the kind of architectural language we're talking about.
Marconi, eat your hat out.
Never mind your Tesla. Forget about it.
What? More like James Watt.
That's
and
right.
I'm looking at it and I'm marvelling, Gav.
Absolutely. Electricity,
the trellis work. And the fact that I know it was certainly manufactured in a...
Right, an industrial setting.
In an industrial setting. And that it is... What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Modular.
Yeah.
It wasn't bespoke, mate. That is very much modular.
That's right, yeah.
And I stand there, mate, and I look at those power cables stretching over out into the infinite and I marvel.
You just love marvelling, don't you?
I love to marvel at man's ability to generate electricity. You're going to get jokers with a fire pit.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get some joker. Right, yeah. Ah, yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You're going to get jokers. But amongst that, stand a while and marvel.
That's right. And if you're worried, send in the wolves.
Exactly right. But they're saying it's destroying the fabric of the moor,
right.
Which is bleak, really unwelcoming, deeply hostile.
It's looked after itself for thousands of years.
Yes, yeah, it's going to be okay. It's prehistoric. Yeah. Dartmoor National Park Authority members have now... just another thing people can join, the members of an authority.
Exclude
for a
people.
Moor.
Yeah.
They've now agreed to draft proposals to review the bylaws. I say, yeah...
Keep it wild.
Wild. Let wild mean wild, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Dartmoor was born to be wild.
Yeah.
Here's Steppenwolf. It's not at all.
It's our own jungle, Joey.
Gav hates that song.
Yeah. X.
Paul Chowdhury.
What's happening?
Have you heard his global original podcast?
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Budcast.
And it's available on Global Player now.
You're probably thinking, what does bud mean? Where's the meaning in this podcast? Does it have a metaphor? It does. This is a deep and meaningful podcast because Bud in Punjabi is a direct translation of Far.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen on Global Player now.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
This is the biggest humiliation in the history of France and just means all bets are off.
Really?
All bets are off. Honestly, Gav.
But they're pretty strident about what they're good at and all that. Yeah.
But what's the one thing the French are really big on? Really, really big on. They're really big on champagne only coming from France.
And all appellations. They have regions for everything.
That's it.
Chickens, wine, everything.
Yeah, but appellations and everything. And literally, you can't. That's it. Or anything else, sparkling wine. No one else can call.
That's right.
Get this. The Russians are so big on champagne.
Yeah.
Here you go. Champagne began flowing in Russia again yesterday after French producers, they lifted a boycott on Russia. They've lifted a boycott. Now, the reason they've been boycotting is because President Putin has demanded that they label champagne sparkling wine.
Why?
In Russia. Because Russian champagne... Yeah?
Yeah.
The stuff they produce there is called champagne-ski.
Champagne-ski.
Yeah, it's called champagne-ski, yeah. So the Champagne Interprofessional Committee called the boycott in July after Putin signed a decree that restricted the use of the Russian name for champagne, champagne-ski, exclusively to local Russian. I mean, you can imagine what local Russian sparkling wine tastes like. Christ alive.
Oh, my God.
You got not got a job at a Russian stuff? No, I don't want that French muck. I want a real Russian gear. Anyway, so... Putin said, no, you can't call it champagne because that impinges on the word champagne-ski.
That's mad, isn't it?
It's spelled with an SH.
It's a hell of a flex.
No, spelled with an SH.
Oh, really?
Champagne-ski. Like shampoo, yeah. So it's spelled champagne-ski. And it's on their bottles of Russian sparkling
wine. That's amazing.
Meanwhile, the French.
Yeah, not only,
What's ironic is that the thing that really sort of... wasn't the rebirth of champagne, but you have to say Cristal really gave champagne that kind of gangster.
It did, yeah.
I don't know if you know about this, but Louis Roederer, who It's the house that Kristall comes from.
Yeah.
Kristall was created for the Russian royal family.
Oh, was it? Right.
Yes.
Right, right.
And do you know what's interesting about Kristall? Mm. We'll be the judge of that, John.
Go on.
What's interesting, so even that is now sparkling wine in Russia.
Okay.
Even Kristall. It's Kristall has to be in a clear bottle, so it's the only champagne like that.
Right.
One of the, was the only champagne.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about Kristall is the bottom of the bottle is flat.
No punt.
There is no punt in the bottle.
Wow.
Do you know why that is?
Why?
So that the Russian royals would know that no one had hidden an explosive device in there.
Oh, my God.
Because it might be a source of assassination.
Wow.
So Kristall is clear and has that flat bottom so that no one can hide a bomb in there for the Russian royals. Because it was made only for the Russian royal family.
That's amazing.
It. Yeah. So the order, regarded as a favour to Putin's winemaking allies, Boris Titov and Yuri Kovalchuk, forces the French to put a label in Russian to define the content of their champagne. This is not champagnesky. This is just a sparkling wine.
That is power, isn't it? Getting the French to take their own name.
It just shows
off.
You the power of the Russians and also how beleaguered the French are at the moment.
Yeah.
That item almost disturbs me.
Radio X.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, utterly no exception. Gav, what do you got?
I have got another insane military invention from the Victorian era. As you know, Johnny, a marching army has to be fed and watered, particularly watered.
Army marches on its stomach.
Exactly. Particularly in hot, hot climates.
Shall I say something, yeah?
Go on.
Well, that's a Napoleon quote.
Yeah.
So it might not be his right. He was wrong about everything. He lost.
Right, yeah. But you would imagine you need a bit of food.
No, I was watching a war documentary the other day and it said Hitler used to, as Hitler said, they're more likely to fall for a bigger lie than a small, you know, the bigger the lie.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They didn't fall for it. He lost and all his lies are exposed.
And it all went wrong.
It's not true.
No, it's just not true.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not true.
So, in Victorian Empire times, a solution was proposed. So what this is, basically, is you know what a pith helmet looks like? It kind of goes down the back like a mullet.
Yes.
And it's got a bit of a peak at the front.
Yeah. It's like a mullet.
Yeah, it is. It's like a hard mullet.
The German helmet's like a mullet a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Anyway, this is the rain collecting helmet.
Oh, is that what it's... That's genius, though.
So what it is the crown of the helmet, about halfway down, there's a gutter all the way round the round bit of the crown.
Well, there's a cunningly contrived cavity gap.
Yes, and the rest, all of the peak and the mullet bit at the back is a container, a water butt on your head, basically.
Yeah.
And at the very back, you'll see there's a little tap under the mullet to release the delicious water.
Yes, how lovely that will
but
taste.
But look at the size of it. Imagine how heavy that
it's
thing
enormous.
Gets. It's massive.
It's made of carbon and iron.
It'd be like wearing a barbell on your head.
Yeah, just awful.
Imagine,
well, also full of water.
Yes, and sloshing backwards.
That's a kilo a litre.
It's really heavy.
That's what they based measurements of weight on.
Can you imagine marching down a dusty desert or a pass?
With like a bottle of Volvic on your head. Yeah, right. Yeah. Can you imagine that? They're coming.
In your heavy tweed tunic
with your
scratchy socks.
Hoping it doesn't rain again.
It must have been horrible.
Rain or... you have to drink as it rains.
You must have had to.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
must have had to. Or people were always undoing each other's taps for a joke.
Yeah, just let it out.
From behind.
It'd be like a drain pipe going down your uniform.
Actually, that is the one good thing. If you were hot, you could just undo the tap.
You
get a bit of water down your neck.
But you'd just get clammy, Gav.
You would, because all the wool and the heavy...
But by the end of it, everything would be wet and just awful.
Scratchy.
Just all scratchy.
And the sort of velvet and everything would not be good.
You end up your uniform weighing about the same as you. It's like carrying a man on your shoulders.
It would.
Yeah, awful.
It's very silly. I tried to find out if anyone ever made it or used it, but no, it was just a proposition. We should salute its silliness. The rain collecting helmet.
The rain collecting helmet. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7. Thang. Why we salute you. Thank you very much indeed. Genius, Gav.
Radio X.
Guys, yeah. I've got an example of. They said I was mad, but I'll show them.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, everyone at the Institute called me mad, but I'll show them.
What happened?
When I get to the bit that's like that,
yeah.
I need you to start chorusing. They said I was mad.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'll show them.
Woolly mammoth hybrids could be walking the Arctic within 6 years. under a groundbreaking genetic engineering project that seeks to turn the clock back on extinction. The scheme...
They said I was mad!
Wait, not quite.
Okay,
you ready?
Yeah, all right.
The scheme, led by George Church, the Harvard geneticist...
They said I was mad! But I'll turn them!
Back with an initial fifth. There's more coming up.
What's his name? George Church.
Yeah, the Harvard geneticist. It's back with an initial $15 million from investors, including Ben Lamb, the tech entrepreneur. I said I was mad. He aims to bring back extinct species in order to restore lost ecosystem and slow climate change.
No problem,
Captain. Hasn't he seen Jurassic Park?
They said I was mad. Are you saying he's mad?
Yeah.
Well, he'll show you.
It won't end well.
Okay. That's what everyone said.
That's what they said.
Films have shown
so
us
so
that.
You're saying he's mad. Don't worry, he'll show you. I'll show them.
If it's the last thing he does. If it's the last thing I do, I'll get you.
It will be the last thing you do when you're impaled by a woolly mammoth.
It's a very strong point you make, since.
Ooh, Mr. Peevely, the bears have escaped.
Anyway, hold on, if mammoths didn't survive because of whatever the environment became, how long are these mammoths going to live for? You know, they'll be born into this world and go, oh God, it's not enough oxygen or something.
Over. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if they didn't survive back then.
Yeah, right.
Mind you, that was because like loads of little proto-Russians were savaging them.
Oh, were they? They were hunted, were they?
Yeah, selling their ivory to the Chinese so that they could, you know, insects.
It's always us, isn't it? It's always the people.
Yeah, but I'm just worried, once you start this, they want to turn back the clock on extinction.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this could be bad, right?
I want saber-toothed tigers. Please, can we have saber-toothed tigers?
No, no, and no more than we can have, like, massive, great flying lizards. I don't want any of it.
Can we stay at the top of the food chain, basically?
Okay, remember, man came along when these things had gone.
Yeah. Everything was a lot safer.
Not without good reason. We take, let's say, 16 years of parenting, a parent protecting us before anything like... Well, actually, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's true. Maybe 12 years.
Right.
If we look at someone like Genghis Khan,
yeah,
Tamerlan, he did his first raid and slaughtered another tribe when he was 10.
Right, so
even then he was considered very unusually cunning for a young man, as he was called at the time. So that was a 10-year-old.
Well, Fergie wasn't far behind him.
Who was Sir Alec?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really compare him to the Khan.
Well, he was.
But I get him. I get him. Man United, yes, but then they're not the Mongol hordes quite.
Fergie was running a pub in Glasgow.
They did conquer all of Europe. Yeah, you're right. And he was running a pub in Glasgow at like 6.
He was, yeah.
Yeah. People were frightened of him. Men were frightened of the lad. Anyway, I just don't think they should do this. There's lots of other, like Church, who's been called the father of synthetic biology.
Right.
They said I was mad! He's contributed to research in altering DNA sequences in order to correct defects or make crops more resilient.
Mm.
But he and his team spliced... Get this.
Go on.
They spliced frozen woolly mammoth genes into the DNA of an Asian elephant.
Oh, my God.
Colossal will now build on that work to create a genetically modified man.
That's even worse.
You made up the last bit there. Giant hairy man.
Yes. They've spliced it. To create...
A nation of Hagrids.
The mammoth... the mammoth man. Behold! And he comes out and just goes, Dad!
And he's got really big tusks. Yeah.
Dad! Dad! And he comes towards him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there we go. The woolly mammoth
went largely alone.
He went largely into extinction 10,000 years ago. The goal is to rewild lost habitat.
Wow.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
How about we just look after the things that are here and haven't got extinct and stop them going extinct rather than things that have got extinct, getting them back.
Yes.
There we go. They probably went extinct for a reason.
Like sounds much more doable.
Like dinosaurs and shortly, man.
Sure.
X. This is your man, Paul Chowdhury.
Hi, Paul.
And I've got a brand new podcast.
Amazing. Tell us more.
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
Great name. Who have you got on it?
Well, I've got my old friend, Russell Howard, another old friend, James Acaster. And once my friends stopped returning my calls, I was forced to speak to people I didn't even know.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen now on Global Player.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah?
Do you know what I'd like to be?
What?
I'd like to be one of those bands where they're always playing in those bars.
Right.
They pull up in action films.
Uh-huh.
Or where once they've done basic training for some sort of marine unit,
they're
allowed to go for their first night
bars,
drinking.
Yeah.
And for some reason, some local by the pool table thinks, look, let's get these candy ass suckers.
Soldiers.
Yeah.
This should be easy.
Yeah, this should be easy for a...
I've had some beer, I'm going to fight
these
guys.
A guy with a mullet and skinny legs with my fat mate. This should be easy. We've got pool cues and stuff.
And someone's been getting those soldiers really aggressive for 16 weeks.
And meanwhile, the band are just like, change the lock on my back door, move it on over, and they get their asses kicked. Funny. Well, that's I'd like have a gig in a bar like
on
that.
On a band, yeah
for
it.
Some reason, there's amazing looking women in there.
Always,
who choose to drink with this sort of overweight, kind of white, trashy crowd.
That's right, and loads of motorcycles arriving.
Yeah, right.
What do they do afterwards?
Well, yeah, what happens next, yeah. And then also, everyone tips out for the fight.
That's
for some
right,
reason.
Yeah. They do.
God, we're on a bit of a flight of fancy there, Wilbur. That was
wow. This is like Roadhouse. This is all out of this.
No, Roadhouse. No, that's different. That's different to those sort of roadside boogie places.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, because that strikes me as a destination bar.
Right. It is. Yeah.
Everyone at these places is there because that's just, you know, this is the best place to catch a sort of to you know just to catch some Z's before you get to Bakersfield.
Right.
Yeah. Let's have some bullshito. We've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level. They're masters of the ancient art of bullshito. We've had things like Elliot's friend, who said he could see the Eiffel Tower from their halls of residence in Wembley Park.
Right, sure.
Could have been Crystal Palace, you could have been mistaken.
Yeah.
The work colleague who reckons he still gets phone calls from Mick Jagger so they can talk about the good times.
When he was a roadie.
Don't spoil the good times. Good times. The good times. Gav.
The good times.
The good times. And the mate who fought off a pack of wild dogs in Western Supermare.
Yeah,
using only a handsaw.
What?
Send your bullshito stories, 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Let's see what's going on in the dojo of deceit this week. We got Laz in Cardiff. You all right, Laz?
What's Laz got?
We've got a guy in work who claims that he went to a wedding in Italy. Halfway through the service, the Pope walked in, took over.
Sure.
They've asked him for proof. Do you know what he said?
What?
Yeah, the phone died.
Oh, really? All the phones
Everyone's
died.
Phones
Everyone's phones
it's a miracle,
died.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, of course, a miracle.
What you got, Gav? Because that is bullshito. Gav, what do you got?
Alex in Loughborough.
Hello, Alex.
He says a guy in school said he had a toy Death Star that could blow up chairs. It's just a smaller lie, isn't it? It's just fantastic.
I love it.
No, take a chair out, easy. I can't show you.
Well, I told you, but one of the greatest. Star Wars is a real one for bullshit. But I told you, and I know it still makes you laugh. That time I was on the train and I heard that 15-year-old talking to a 12-year-old kid.
It's brilliant.
It was his little mate.
Yeah.
They're off to go and buy, I can't remember, they're on the way to Leicester on a train, a two-carriager.
Yeah.
And he's going, listen, you mustn't tell him. He says, don't tell him on this, yeah? You promised me. Seriously, Jamie.
And he's got a captive audience here.
Yeah, you promised me. He goes, where is it, Andy? He goes, do you promise me you won't say out about this?
Yeah.
He's going, yeah. He goes, I'm only Jedi, aren't I? Because you're Jedi. He goes, yeah, I've told you. You don't tell him, don't tell Mum.
No.
I'm Jedi. I'm only, he actually swore at that point, I'm only King Jedi. Yeah, exactly. This is Steve in Newcastle. Thanks, Steve. Hi, TJ. My old man used to tell me that he befriended a seagull called Gordon.
What?
Back in his shipbuilding days. During lunch breaks, Gordon would apparently swoop down a latch onto a length of rope held by my old man to the delight of observing shipbuilders.
Yeah.
Gordon would conduct acrobatic manoeuvres in response to a series of turns and twists that Dad made on the rope.
You're kidding.
Sadly, their bond broke when Gordon failed to return after a harsh winter. Years later, whenever we visited an air show display, I would catch Dad looking fondly towards the sky as the jets screeched through the clouds, and he would quietly say, Gordon's alive, with a smile. Truth or a father winding his son up? Who knows? I'll tell you who knows. The spirit of bullshito. Send your stories, your bullshito stories, 83936. or tweet at Radio X. Really appreciate them.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Get this, right?
Go on.
So Marcus Rashford, he's just trying to get children fed properly. Yeah?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The trade union conference, the Bakers Union,
right,
have just proposed at the TUC, and I back them for this, but it could they could catch a cold off this one.
Okay, go on.
They've said that everyone's got the right to a healthy meal, to eat healthily.
Okay, yeah.
I'm thinking what Bakers are saying there. Have you been to Greg's? Believe me, most British food. So many jobs are on the line in unhealthy eating. Believe
absolutely
me,
right,
a
yeah.
lot more are on the line for unhealth to keep Britain unhealthier than healthy. Yeah, yeah. So I just want to tell the movement, back away from that one a little bit.
Yeah, be careful. Tread carefully.
Tread a bit carefully. You could be voting yourselves out of jobs. Anyway, Gav, get this.
Yeah.
For generations of this is the most naive thing I've ever read.
Go on.
For generations of British school children, the golden period between the end of class and the start of homework, just when you go home, you know, has meant only one thing, a chalky biscuit and a packet of crisps.
Right.
However, a French cook has disparaged the great tradition of that, suggesting British children should stop eating between meals.
Yeah. And do what?
And take after their French counterparts.
Oh, yeah.
Who she says eat more sophisticated four-course dinners later.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's great, isn't it?
That's going to happen.
That's going to happen, isn't it?
That's going to happen.
No, let me just tell you the British way. If you're listening, Manon Larrive, a former contestant on the British Bake Off, what happens is they will literally eat Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
In front of Gordon Ramsay.
Right, while Gordon's cooking
stuff. Yeah, while someone's cooking something
decent. Complex,
and
yeah,
that,
yeah.
And that makes them feel like they're now eating a bit better.
They're a bit foodie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you suggest, Gav? You're a former chef.
So if it's four courses for a child in the
What's
evening,
a good four-course meal for a kid?
Well, I'd begin with a little amuse-bouche, maybe a petit croustade de champignon, just a little pastry of mushrooms.
It's not beyond most presents.
And then maybe
that?
A first course of goujon d'aigle fin, which is a little haddock goujons, maybe with a little sauce vierge.
Oh, kids. Okay, Gav, can I just say,
go on.
When they have that, a good time for them to have that, maybe during the one show then?
Yes.
During that one. So
lovely.
If they're starting off, say, for Antiques Road Trip, they could have the... What was the first thing you said?
The little croustade de champignon, yeah.
Perfect, they could have that during Antiques Road Trip. Go on, next time.
Right, yeah. Then the little goujons de fin, the little haddock goujons. Then for the main course...
That's okay while the parents are watching Pointless.
Yeah, that's cool. And then during the next bit, you would have maybe gigot d'agneau à 7h avec pomme dauphinoise, which is just a nice bit of lamb, basically.
That could be four in a bed, into come dine with me.
Yeah, nice. And then for pudding, maybe a pièce montée or croque en bouche, as it's known as well.
Perfect.
Just profiteroles, basically.
Just to take them from The Simpsons into Hollyoaks.
Yeah, with a bit of sponge sugar, yeah.
Gav, that doesn't sound beyond any parent.
No, it's
that
normal.
It doesn't sound.
It's normal. You only need, you know, 9 or 10 chefs to do that.
It sounds a little four-course meal. But only one course, mother! No amuse-bouche!
This is your man, Paul Chowdhury.
Hi, Paul.
And I've got a brand new podcast.
Amazing. Tell us more.
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
Great name. Who have you got on it?
Well, I've got my old friend, Russell Howard, another old friend, James Acaster. And once my friends stopped returning my calls, I was forced to speak to people I didn't even know.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen now on Global Player.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Okay, do you know what? Walkers taking an early evening stroll in the Lake District last night. By that, they mean pensioners.
Okay,
just say
yes.
Pensioners. You don't need to say walkers in the Lake District. Just
right,
say pensioners.
Yeah. Sure,
and
sure.
And we understand that.
Yes.
It's fine. It's not. That's not stereotyping.
No.
It's not creating a negative stereotype. It's really positive, actually.
It is.
Yeah. So with these anorak-clad Christians, they were... Sorry, I didn't say that. I didn't mean that at all. I didn't mean that.
Go on. What
anyway,
happened?
So walkers taking an early evening stroll in the Lake District might not have expected to have a Hollywood star land on top of them. Let me tell you, if they were expecting that, that'd be extraordinary.
It would, and why would they be expecting
Why would they be expecting that?
And which star? That would tell you a lot about those pensioners.
If you speak to a lot of pensioners, the one they're hoping for is Mr. Gary Boozy.
Yes. I can see that.
That would have been really good.
Busey is very popular amongst the retired community.
Yes. Instead, Tom Cruise, who plays the daredevil spy Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible. We know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. We've heard
Tom
of
Cruise,
him.
Who is he? You know Mission Impossible? Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm
yes. Yes, yes.
He was parachuting from a helicopter and gliding across the hills.
Oh, literally? I thought yes. He was landing in a helicopter or something.
No, he
right.
flew his own helicopter from Birmingham to get to the location.
Right.
He was seen smiling and joking with the crew. He paraglided to the ground. Yeah.
That's so tough.
Then he climbed during Mission Impossible 2, he climbed a 2,000-foot cliff in Utah attached to nothing but a thin safety rope. Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's a safety rope.
Yes, that
that's
is a safety rope.
Yeah, thin.
Can you imagine the insurance companies letting Tom Cruise?
But this idea of thin.
I know, it's a rope.
No, but I suppose it's a slightly frayed.
It wasn't just a cotton thread, was
yeah,
it?
Right, yeah. But anyway, fans who spoke to Cruise said he was lovely. He wasn't in a rush to get off. He treated us just like friends.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice, isn't it? But everyone said, what I'd like, though, if he'd landed and actually been quite unpleasant.
Yeah, really
rude. What are you
rude.
Not looking at?
Get away.
What
not
are
seen
you
a parachute.
At? Leave me alone. We're filming.
Really intensely like Tom Cruise yes. does when he's acting.
And hit the wall like that.
Woo!
Yeah, you old idiots. You
what
fools.
Are you looking at?
What are you looking at? You can't handle the cruise. Something like that.
Something like that, exactly.
And then just moved off going, I want some ass.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not as tall as you thought I'd be.
I feel the need. I feel the need. And then he's just walked off.
Right.
He said they're always sociable. You needn't say that.
Exactly, yeah.
It should have been Tom Cruise stunned pensioners in the Lake District with an angry tirade telling them to stop looking at him.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Or he'll chase them.
He made them look at the ground. He said he could still tell someone was looking at him. Then his team of heavies shoved the pensioners back.
That's right, and tore up their OS maps.
Yeah, put blindfolds on them and said, stop looking at him. You're eating his energy.
That's right.
Yeah, something mad like that. It's easy to be that famous and rich and all friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I bet Boozy would have done something different.
Oh, yeah, completely different.
Boozy would have done something.
Boozy would have done something completely different. He would have just rolled
he'd
up on a skateboard.
Or just bitten one of their ears off and just come back with, there it is, in his big teeth. Just a floppy,
big grin,
floppy, great big bit of gammon pinching their ear like that.
You've taken it too far
I've
there,
taken
Johnny.
Taken it too far now, haven't I?
Far too far.
Anyway, he didn't. He was fine.
It was all fine, yeah.
And Tom, he was fine. He was absolutely fine. He didn't bite any pensions.
No, he probably found a country hotel and was fine that evening.
No, he would probably flown back to Birmingham, I think,
sure.
to get away from them. Mm. Clinging to him.
Radio X.
Got some bad news if you're a fan of wine.
Really?
The best wine for a healthy heart. Yeah, and hopefully the French will fight back on this one.
Right.
I'm afraid alcohol-free wine. Improves heart health as much as consuming modest amounts of normal wine.
They're basically saying don't drink wine.
No, but I don't get this because it says best wine for a healthy heart is alcohol free.
Right.
Says scientist.
Yeah.
Well, one guy trying to make a name for himself. But then it says, listen, drinking alcohol free wine improves heart health as much as consuming modest amounts of normal wine. Who's going to drink vast amounts of alcohol free wine?
Yeah. Who goes on a binge?
Give me some more of that. No, I drink loads of the stuff.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I drink six bottles
of alcohol-free
wine. But also,
drinking alcohol-free wine improves heart health as much as modest amounts of normal wine. Well, I'll go for normal wine, please, Bob.
What, modest amounts of normal wine improves your heart?
Yes, it does.
It's really good for you.
The benefit comes from the grapes rather than the alcohol. Well, that's what it says there, but I just don't follow that.
Makes no sense.
The findings should help to debunk the idea that a moderate amount of alcohol can help ward off heart problems. Let's go again to that first paragraph.
It's just said the opposite.
I know,
yeah,
that's what I don't understand. Drinking alcohol-free wine improves heart health as much as consuming modest amounts of normal wine.
So, in other words, they both improve your heart.
Oh, but you have modest amounts.
Right.
What they're trying to say is the more alcohol... full wine you drink, the healthier it isn't. What they don't want is people going, the more of this stuff I get back, apparently the better this is for me. But anyway, it's a bit ambiguous and a bit sort of...
Yeah, confusing.
And actually, it's just like everyone involved in that is trying to make a bit of a name for themselves.
Yeah.
Next up, listening to Bach or Beethoven could leave you reaching for the biscuit tin.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Apparently, people preferred sweet foods when you listen to classical music as opposed to jazz or hip-hop and heavy metal.
What?
What's great news for our fans, for our listeners, is our fans.
Yeah.
Background music improves the taste of red wine. Guess what? Really made wine taste richer, they found, researchers found.
What, music?
Yeah, guess what music?
Ooh.
I can tell you now. Sweet Charlemagne by GNR.
You're kidding.
You get some of that, and literally, you can lay on any old plonk, and that's going to be tasting rich.
Wow.
And they're going to know you are an aristocrat.
So wine tastings are always going to have Guns N' Roses blaring
out
from now on.
If it's a good one, yes.
Yeah,
Gav.
Yeah, excellent.
If they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Also, this is, again, researchers trying to make a name for himself. People also drink more quickly the louder the music is. So if you've got loud Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
I don't know why they just turn the Guns N' Roses tour into the Guns N' Roses, like the Catalina wine tasting.
Definitely.
You know, it's the Guns N' Roses wine tasting. I'd have one called Axel Rose. You know? And away we go. Thank you very much. In fact, I'm going to stop there while I'm ahead.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah.
Dr. St. Templeton's dropped by the sailor. Hi, Doc.
Hi.
How's the doctor?
Very well.
Doctor, lots of people at the moment, because of COVID and what have you, are trying to move to the... I think you're moving to the countryside. And I think there's been a bit of backlash because everyone's... a lot of sort of men of people of power have invested all their money in houses in the city. That's
right.
The problem. And flats,
yeah.
Which they're flipping. Sure. They're flipping flats.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to reverse it. And here we've seen the first... You know, everyone's about how unhealthy life is in the city, how traffic gives you, helps dementia, just the sound of it, and all the molecules poisoning your system. So get this now, and how good the quietness of the... We all know the countryside is probably better for peace of mind.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't want that.
You like a bit of turmoil,
don't
you?
I do love turmoil. I go to the countryside. Because I get tinnitus, the countryside's really bad for me.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Because
it focuses it, doesn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
Christ, the silence. The silence!
Ah, no, you need a bit of traffic.
Yes, yeah. I really do.
Mm.
Anyway, get this. People starting in a new life in the country should be prepared to use a torch, says a government climate advisor.
My God.
Who wants rural streetlights phased out. So now they're just trying to make the countryside more inhospitable. This is what I'd say to the Cornish and all those other people who want, you know, city dwellers boosting up the house price, everything, just to naff off. Mm. This is what you should do. Just make it more hostile.
Yeah.
Give
Turn
them a take.
All the lights
instead
off.
Of pandering to them and opening up these sort of boutique little delis.
Yeah, yeah.
And places where you might have kitschy little farm shops like what Clarkie's doing.
Yeah.
No. Make it rough. Make it so you got a slaughter. There's a bit of meat for you. I don't know. You'll have to sort it out yourself. You just literally put a carcass on them.
Definitely.
Also, once you've turned the lights off, then make the pavements a kind of obstacle course.
Yes.
Yes.
Pavements? What pavements? No, I'm going to bring all those up. They're being drilled out.
They've
ditches.
Gone.
They've gone. They've
ditches
gone.
Either side of the road.
All I'm going to do is out there, I'm going to make pigsties.
The other thing you could do is just cut all the broadband.
Yes.
No one's moving
no
there.
Broadband at all. No broadband at all.
Kills it overnight.
Kills
yeah.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Just make it so they literally all you get is not even Freeview.
No, that's it. Just
one,
Anglia Television.
1, 2, and 4.
From
one,
the
2,
70s.
And 4.
Yeah.
Intermittently.
Yeah. All fuzzy.
Yeah, yeah. And bring back trade test transmissions as well, just all afternoon. And the only thing you got to watch normally during the summer is a cricket. Get this. Lord Deben, chairman of the Independent Climate Change Committee, said rural streetlights were unnecessary. Councils should think about all decisions in light of climate change. Mm. He goes, when people move into the country, side, you just have to say to them, this is not the town. We don't have street lighting in this village. Or sanitation. Or electricity. Or law.
Or running water.
Or law and order. Or have the right of habeas corpus. Or any of these urban luxuries. What we have is the law of club and fist. And the candle.
You metropolitan fools.
You fools. It's the law of club and fist.
And stout brogue.
Yeah. Boot. This is not the town. We do not have street lighting in this village. You have a torch. That's just how you do it. He did note that street lights in towns and cities would make people feel safer and more likely to walk. He warned that building housing developments in villages meant that people had to travel further to work, blah, blah, blah. They should all work in the villages as well. You should say, if you move to there, you've got to work there.
That's right, yeah.
Well, it's going to find it pretty difficult with no broadband, mate.
Yeah.
The other thing is, as well as torches, not even electric either. Those ones you...
Oh, like the paraffin lamps.
And the other thing, they don't get... They don't get the vote. Instead of a vote, you just get a pitchfork. And literally, if you want to make your point clear, just you just run up a mob and go and tell the vicar. Or the guy, whoever lives in the manor house.
And you have to pay council tax in wheat. Yeah.
Yes, right. Tithe. Open up the
cider.
Open up the tithe barns. Whatever money they've got to turn it all back into crops. That'd transform Harvard.
Perfect.
Yes. And also, I like the idea of them badgering whoever's in the manor house. He's probably someone who works in advertising.
Right, yeah.
Who's bought it.
Yeah.
Starts scaring his children. Also, they've got to go to local schools as well, those people who go out there, rather than just sort of naffing back to London. Fire. That's the answer to many of Britain's problems. Fire and the boot.
X. Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I grew my hair during lockdown. Mm. And it turns out I have got... And so this is true, isn't it? You...
I've seen it with my own
It's not
eyes.
Even a bit of salt and, or in the salt and pepper. It's just
No, it's just jet black.
Yep. When you let your locks down.
Oh, that's enough, Kev. Consequently, my partner Vanessa has taken to playing... Because I got that gun. And a soft savin charm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Absolutely right.
But anyway, Vanessa, so don't look at my hair fascinated. It's not, it's short now, right?
Mm. Yeah, I can see the black velvet just peeking through.
In an effort to mock my Noir Knox, that's what she did. It's her mock anthem. You then started sending in yours, which led us to a brand new feature, ladies and gentlemen. We will mock you. Sing it! I sound just like Alan Lambert.
Exactly like Alan Lambert.
I really do.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference.
It is Alan Lambert, isn't it?
You should have gone for the gig.
Al.
Yeah.
Do you know what? How come he got the gig? Oh, he's on like America's Got...
Right.
Voice.
The Voice or something. Yeah. Something like that.
America's Got a Voice.
Yeah.
Mm. Sounds like a sort of propaganda channel. Okay, you ready for this? And arguably is. We've had the mock anthems sung at Wade Standen. He's Wade Standen. Better than he's ever been. We've also had the Aussie IT guy. Ken De La Vega. And nobody knows the name of Matt's other half. So they simply refer to us Matt's wife. Matt's what all the people say. Okay, here's a few more we've had in. I think Dr. Sunder Templeton, who likes to get into this, she likes me, but she actually wanted to be in musicals. She's quite a West End Wendy underneath it all. So, what's Kieran in Telford? Go on with.
Kieran says, my family name is Siddy.
Is what?
Siddy.
I know what it's going
to
be.
My dad's friends in the military used to sing... We built this city.
Yes, of course.
We built this city on sausage rolls.
Lovely stuff.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kieran and Telford. We built this city. We built this city on sausage rolls. Do you know something? Greg's.
Yeah. Oh.
My God, they're listening to that, aren't they?
Oh, my God.
They really are. That's Greg's entire Christmas campaign.
Forever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Makes me want one, actually. In fact, a friend of mine who came up to see me at the weekend, and he bought a bag of sausage rolls from this special little baker's he's got right near where he lives in this village outside Bristol.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man.
There's some good sausage rolls.
Will it provoke... Is it a sliver of something or a slither?
Sliver.
It is a sliver, isn't it?
Sliver, yeah, with a V,
That's what I thought.
A sliver is a small slice.
That might be an argument. I lost then.
Okay.
Right. because I can only allow myself a slither, as it turns out. A sliver. Because otherwise I get chronic indigestion. Oh, my God, it's just delicious. It's unbelievable. Gav.
Okay, this one's from number ending 9776. I knew a guy from school called Daniel Hall. Every time we saw him shuffling along the corridor, the lads would sing... Slowly walking Daniel Hall.
Oh, that's
faster than Daniel Hall.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay.
Slowly walking Daniel Hall.
Okay, are you ready for this? This is from Karen.
Go on.
My own father used to sing my maiden name at me, which is Ryder. He find it very amusing because her name is Karen.
Right.
So it's Karen Ryder.
Yeah.
And he'd hit her up with a burst of... Oh, Karen Ryder, crawl off, jump and prance. Oh, Karen Ryder, crawl off, jump and prance. Oh, Karen Ryder, crawl off, Chomp and Prance. I changed my last day name by deed poll when I was just stop people.
Just
stop people going.
Oh, Karen
Ryder, proud of Chomp and Prance or Karen Ryder. You want prawn? I think it says, "Do you want prawn?" In it, doesn't
does it?
Okay,
right. I don't know. I've always thought there's that bit that goes, "Huh? You want prawn?"
Which I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't sing that.
Who knows?
Once took Shaggy busking.
No way.
In Brixton, yeah, when I was doing a thing, Busk or Bust. We used to put really famous artists up against a genuine busker.
Yeah.
And Shaggy was on one corner.
Right.
And on the other corner was One Foot Son and Daddy. Two guys from Jamaica who both had one leg.
Right.
And they were on crutches and did a whole act with karate and
kidding.
No, they could do a whole routine of like ninja stuff with karate.
Excellent.
Getting up on one thing, yeah? They just ignored Shaggy. He must have cleaned it. Oh, the Jamaicans down there, believe me, down in the yard,
they couldn't
give a stuff about Shaggy doing his mock reggae. Believe me. One Foot Son and Daddy, hey! Unbelievable. They had about 500 quid. Brilliant. He took about two.
Radio X.
Guys.
Mm.
Yeah.
Millions of residents have been told to use less water.
Right.
As the reservoir that supplies them is struggling to cope despite recent heavy rainfall. Not just heavy rainfall, floods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Floods.
Yeah, my lawn's been like a sort of muddy quagmire for weeks.
I can't believe there's any water left up there. Well, I look up and I see clouds. I think, what are you doing?
I'm sure.
Where'd you come from?
We got like a month's worth in an hour or something at one point in August.
But those clouds, they can't have even come from Europe. You see what's happening in Spain?
Yeah.
And it's
France,
mad.
And Germany, Christ.
And also last summer, it was just hot and dry all summer long and we didn't get this.
No, we had a rainy summer. There was no summer that was perceptible in August.
Not really, no. We've had more of it this week.
Yes.
Yep. It's mad.
Yes. So I asked the question, what can we deal with?
Right.
What weather is it meant to be in Britain?
Right. It really must be.
Clement.
I don't know. Just about.
Mm.
Just about.
Basically drizzle. I tell you what it is.
Yeah.
And what other place should replace the Union flag with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes in the weather, in fact, nearly always when I was a kid, there was one symbol on that weather map.
Right.
It was a grey cloud with sun and rain coming out of it.
That's right, three little drops of rain. Yeah.
That's all that covered then.
Yeah.
Here's what you're going to get. And you're thinking, what are you going to tell me about the weather?
A bit of this all day long.
Yeah. With some showers tomorrow, should brighten up later.
Sure.
You think that's it, isn't it?
It's a classic, though, when we do our write-up weather for the news.
Yeah.
It's a mix of sunshine and showers.
Yes.
Patchy rain. Everything covers everything.
Yeah, but you're sort of thinking, on the royal, at the moment, on the royal crest, it's got the motto and everything. You sort of think, no, just replace it. For the next king, just have the sunshine with the cloud, bit of rain, and should brighten up later.
Yep.
And that should be our motto. I don't know what that is in Latin.
Because
should
we're
brighten
covered
up later.
Then, aren't we?
Yeah, we're just all covered.
That makes sense. Mm.
Some
makes
rain,
a lot of sense.
But that should brighten up later. Or with some showers overnight. When no one's awake.
No, when no one can corroborate.
When you can't prove it. Yeah. That's when they do that nighttime weather. You're sort of thinking, what are you telling me for? It's going to be cloudy tonight.
Yeah, exactly. It's for people maybe hunting rabbits.
I don't know.
They need to know.
No, but, right. It's
do
also
work at night, you know.
No, but astronomers. Yeah, but you're not going out thinking it's a bit cloudy tonight.
Yeah, it's not the weather that's worrying.
Saying that cloud's blocking the moon. I mean, they don't have a symbol on which has got the moon with a bit of cloud over it, do they?
No.
I'd like to see that.
Going a bit cloudy tonight. Did you not see the clouds last night? No, I didn't. I didn't see the clouds last night.
No, I was sleeping.
How cloudy was it? How would we know? I guess it might affect stargazers. I don't know. Anyway, 83936, if you know what the weather should be, so we're not having to... In the Lake District, where there's lakes and there's been flooding.
Yes.
The reservoir's empty.
It's bizarre.
But the lakes are full. And do you know what? I'm not going to give him a name.
Go on.
Or tell you who it is. But someone in our team who's not the most popular member of the team, and that's all I'm going to leave it at.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Said, it's right, actually, my water butts are empty.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Agreeing with them.
I know.
In that awful sort of British way he's got that you feel holds the nation back. Anyway, in the Lake District, where there's lakes, they've got a reservoir there as well.
Johnny, climate change.
Yes, please.
Mismanagement, mate. Mismanagement. I tell you what it is, comrade. Mismanaged water after the nationalisation.
Absolutely right.
Sorry, after the denationalisation.
Absolutely
after the denationalisation,
right.
If there's one thing this country should, no private individuals or shareholders should own, it's water.
True.
It comes from the clouds.
I know.
Okay, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a company and I'm going to buy the clouds. And then when the water companies use it, I'm going to invoice them.
Yes.
I'm going to invoice Thames
Water. Damaging your clouds.
Using my cloud water. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to them, no, you've used, I tell you, okay, where do you get the water from then? And they'll go, well, okay, yeah, and.
And before that.
It's mine.
Yeah.
It's mine because I own all the clouds. Yeah.
Thames, I own all the clouds.
Yeah, Thames clouds. That's what I am.
Sure.
Any clouds that go over the London region, they're mine.
Radio X.
So, me again, little site. That was the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and you'll get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. And let people know about it. You know, I do this every week. No thanks. I don't get any thanks. You know, we put it together, and that's all we need. We just need someone to talk about it, someone to shout about it. You know, get this to number one. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, email Johnny. His email address is johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thank you.